So I am, yes, David Matranga's wife. I've been known as David Matranga's wife forever. And we are going on 9 years married. We have 3 kids, ages 6, 4, and 2, and then 1 on the way this summer. We are really involved here at Foothills. I started coming when I was like 16-ish and got just jumped right into ministry. David, my husband, has been youth venture director for 10 years before he became the college pastor. He still directs Higher Ground Clubs. I help lead the Everyday Moms ministry here, which is our ministry for young moms of young kids. And we started a new ministry, the coffee shop drop-in, which I kind of help out with for young moms. And I'm also a photographer and homeschool. Our kids started that last year. And we just started this new business called Gather We Grow. And it is a business where the Lord has put it on our heart to help families cultivate conversation and discipleship around the tables. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and where this all came from and why discipleship is important and why it matters. So I just listed all of the ministries that we're involved in. We are here a lot at the church, and we have 3 kids, and our kids are at the church a lot, but we realized we're not home a lot with our kids. We're not sewing into them at home as much. Over the past like 2 years, we were realizing that. And we were just doing these activities and these ministries all together, but we felt like we were missing something really important. And we just felt this call from the Lord to be more intentional at home with the way that we were training our kids. But we also didn't know how to do that, really. We were like, let's go to all the church things. Let's put them in childcare where they're actually just playing and learning nothing about the Lord, but church is normal. We were raised really different, too. So my husband was raised in a non-Christian home. Loud Italian family, lots of family dinners and conversation and talking, but it was all like really surface level or about sports. And my home was Christian growing up all throughout. We were very committed to going to church, but it was a very quiet family. And we had some family dinners, but again, surface level conversations, didn't go so deep, except me and my mom. We had still do have a really close relationship. But for some reason, all of our conversations were mostly like on the kitchen floor late at night, like midnight-ish, and we would go in depth and just talk and talk and talk about these life issues and God issues. And I was like, I want that for my kids, but I want it to be so normal that it's just available whenever they want. But how do we do that? So David and I, we just felt this call. We wanted it to be really normal. And we felt this call towards discipling our kids ourselves. So what is discipleship? You have notes. I don't know. You can follow them if you want. It might just confuse you because I might talk fast. Paul Tripp is a pastor and best-selling author, and he says, what is discipleship? What does it actually mean to be a disciple of Jesus? If we're going to make disciples, we need to know what that is. Jonathan Parnell, another pastor, says, the standard definition of disciple is someone who adheres to the teachings of another. It is a follower or a learner. It refers to someone who takes up the ways of someone else applied to Jesus. A disciple is someone who learns from him to live like him, and someone who, because of God's awakening grace, conforms his or her words and ways to the words and ways of Jesus. Or you might say, a disciple of Jesus is themselves a little Christ. And my husband's favorite picture of that discipleship model is one of a master and an apprentice. A master trains the apprentice. The apprentice oftentimes goes and lives with the master to become exactly what the master is, and they're committed, devoted. That is what they're going to do for their life's work. And we really like that picture too. So essentially our kids are our little apprentices that are looking to us if we are doing what we're supposed to do and walking in a way that we are disciples of Christ, they'll be doing what we're doing also. So we have a really big role in modeling what it is to be a disciple of Christ also. But whose job is it really to disciple? Because some people think they're not, they believe this lie that they're not adequate to disciple their own kids, so they send them to church all the time to get trained in the way that they should go. But it's actually our job. The Bible says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And that's not just directed at ministry volunteers or pastors. It's directed at us, too, any believer. And we are the ones who have the most influence over our kids in our own home. And we want it to be that for our kids. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's to us. We are to train up our children. Deuteronomy 6:5-9 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and it shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is our calling as parents, that we would train and disciple our kids and not leave it up to the church, which is great, but that we would do it too, all day, every day. It is our calling. So how does that actually look in real life? How do we disciple our kids in a way that is going to be lasting? Well, it has to happen through the heart. So true discipleship is about the transformation of the heart. Nothing matters if you can't get to their heart. There's no system, no formula, no lip service, no acts of, like, good acts are gonna work if you can't reach their heart. And oftentimes, reaching their heart comes through relationship. Well, every time. It comes through relationship. And relationship comes through conversation and time spent with them. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The word heart appears over 800 times in the Bible. Super important. And we have to make sure we're capturing our kids' hearts. So we started trying to do that. I'm like, how can we train up our kids' hearts, mold them, shape them into Jesus lovers? And they have all these character issues, all these heart attitude issues. How are we going to solve those? So we started talking about it more, coming up with, well, what's wrong with our kid? Long list. What's wrong with this kid? Long list. And we devote date nights to it, talking about all these problems, and then we come up with some solutions, and then it was up to me the next morning to go implement solutions and follow through with these rules that we had and ourselves put in place the night before. And our kids weren't responding. Their hearts weren't getting reached. We were getting frustrated and devoting quality time that we had as husband and wife together to talk, to basically complain about these heart issues, but we were getting nowhere. So, and in the heat of the moment, what was happening is we're giving these kids a set of legalistic rules to follow that we've never even discussed with them, we've never even modeled with them, and we're expecting them, requiring them to listen and obey the first time. It's just not working because their hearts weren't being reached. So we turned to Jesus. Hey. And we started to look at him as the model and what he did and how he trained the disciples who were so imperfect. Like, messing up all the time, but he loved them, he was committed to them, and he still trained them. So what did he do? He didn't give the disciples a set of unexplained rules and say, you must follow this, and good luck, I know you can't do it, neater, neater, neater. Like, he didn't do that. He walked with them, he talked with them, he oftentimes spent time around food and the table discussing things, like the upper room, and there's scripture passages where they're making fish together, and he's just talking to them and telling them stories and parables, and then he lived with them. He walked through life with them even when they were imperfect. He answered their questions. They had questions, and he answered them, not always in the way that they could understand. at first, but that as they walked and they lived life, they caught on, and they were able to carry that out. So that is how Jesus developed the hearts of his followers, and we wanted to somehow implement that in our house. The Ministry of Motherhood by Sally Clarkson was a really influential book in the beginning when I first became a mom. And one of the passages that I loved was, it says, a relationship with Christ is best taught through a long-term personal relationship with someone who knows the Master, not through activities organized around lots of people in impersonal and distracting instructional situations. For a lot of kids, that can be church settings, you know? They can be just distracting, lots of fun. They're great. It shows, I am in no way saying that church is bad or shouldn't bring your kids to church. Absolutely not. Going to church, setting that time aside, shows where your values lie, that you're committed to going to church, you're committed to the body of Christ. But it can't be what we rely on for this deep spiritual relational need that they have. We knew that comes through usually someone, a relationship with someone who's modeling that for them, and we wanted to be that someone for them. We wanted to start now, so that it was when our kids were younger, so that it became just totally normal. Another book by Clay and Sally Clarkson is called The Life-Giving Parent, and I have some of those resources up here if you want to take a look. They talk about a prime parental teaching period. A 10-year period of childhood between ages 4 to 14, and it's this window of time when the windows of their hearts are most open, and we need to make the most of those years. We need to be serious about how we will shape and influence their hearts and minds for God during our brief window of opportunity, and if we don't, the truth is others will, whether it's media, peers, teachers, church, or strangers, or other family members, or whatever. They're going to look to someone, and we wanted it to be us. In 10 years, oh my gosh, we've been doing a college home group for almost 11 years now, and it seems like no time at all. 10 years is gonna go by so fast. I just can't even believe it. So how can it be done? So we realized we were trying and we were failing. And we realized what we were doing is we were living life reacting to the problems that were already happening, instead of living proactively, trying to live ahead of the problem. And so we wanted to slow down, we wanted to plan ahead. We also realized we were kind of missing this important table component, which one person said, they don't have a table, which is fine, we can have a table the floor or a picnic outside. It isn't like just this gathering idea together as a family, as a unit. There's a book called From Tablet to Table, Where Community is Found and Identity is Formed by Leonard Sweet. And it's a book that I read years ago and it just stayed close to my heart. And then my husband read it years later and he loved it too. And one of the quotes from it is, at the table, where food and stories are passed from one person to another and one generation to another, is where each of us learns who we are, where we come from, what we can be, to whom we belong, and to what we are called. We wanted that for our kids. We want them to know what they are called. Pregnant, mama. Yes. But we want to be the ones calling those things out in our kids. Not someone else who doesn't know them as well. Okay, so we wanted that, and that is just something that is super important to us. But in order to do that, we needed to start speaking those things out in our kids, spend the time to communicate those things with them. So we started having regular family meetings, family gatherings, and that is our primary way right now of discipling our kids. And I do want to say, obviously, our kids are young. And we haven't seen ultimately the fruit or where this is going to go, but the way that the Lord has guided this process of getting us here and the questions that we now ask around the table is unreal, and I don't have time to go through it, but it is just marked by God. Like, there's no other way that this isn't hasn't been the Lord. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with our kids, how we'll turn out. But this is just what we felt like the Lord wanted us to share with other families. So often when we say we have family meetings, parents go, oh yeah, we have those too, like when stuff hits the fan. Like, we need a family meeting and we need it now. Like, go sit at the table or schedule it in, because Monday we're talking about this as a family, you know? But that's not the proactive family meeting that we're talking about. That's more of a reactionary family meeting. We wanted to be proactive, have these regular family meetings so that we could live proactively. So around the table, this is where we started to both encourage our kids individually and each other, so that we all heard it, saw it, it was normal that we're encouraging each other, and set up expectations outside of the heat of the moment. And that's key. That's living proactively instead of reacting to the situation at hand. No one in the heat of the moment likes being told what to do or what they should be doing. But when you're reacting, you're defending yourself. But when you're outside of the heat of the moment, this is where your heart can get really rich. And so for us, this is what kind of our family meetings have looked like. So throughout the month, David and I are both thinking about this set of questions that we feel like the Lord really developed in our families, in our family. And these questions have to do with discipleship and spiritual growth, and encouragement. And I'll give you those questions in a little bit. So we started writing those down just in the journal, like piece of paper, and bringing them to the table. We started first doing it in an app on our phone, but then sure enough, like someone would text or there'd be a rabbit trail and we'd go on our phones and it would just be distracting and we're not making eye contact with our kids. We're not, like, just do everything else, bringing a phone to the table. So we put our phones away, we write it down, we bring it to the table. And we started then noticing we were asking the same questions, but then we were asking them in a different order some months that seemed to help the flow of conversation happen better. And we would gather the kids around the table. We would always make like a delicious snack that maybe they didn't normally get. We also would do it more in the morning, so we could talk about these things and then live it out the rest of the day to really reinforce it, instead of just doing it at a family dinner where then everyone goes to bed and the next day you're starting hoping they remember. If you have a whole day to reinforce something, it's a lot easier to then remember the next day that, oh yeah, this is my life now. This is what's happening. So we like bring whipped cream to the table for waffles or something like that that they don't normally get. But sure enough, everyone is stoked to come to the table because there's something like little mini chocolate chips on muffins or whatever. There's like lots of little things. We do cinnamon rolls once a month sometimes. Stuff like that, and it'll bring the husband to the table, it'll bring me to the table, and all the kids. So that's a fun practical tip. And then when we write it down, when David and I have this set of questions, men's brains work differently, right? They're like a little more compartmentalized. I have Pam and Bill Carol's. Men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. So men think in boxes. Women think all over. So part of the reason why our date night chats before hadn't worked was because all of these problems were like spaghetti to my husband, like so overwhelming and big, and he just needed these boxes to put stuff in. So our questions that we're filling in each month, those are his boxes. It makes it really easy for him to lead these family meetings. And as Christian women in Dr. Julie Hayden last night talked about it, like submitting to our husbands. That was key in this process. It takes dad, if dad is in the picture, to set those expectations and for you guys to come at it as a team. And if you aren't married, it's almost probably, in some ways, you don't have that other person giving you input, so you're just coming up with it. But it's so helpful to have dad and you on the same team instead of just one parent against the other or stuff like that. I don't know if that makes sense. But dads aren't home a lot, so they don't see the day-to-day things. And I used to get so frustrated with that, like, these are all problems you're not seeing. And I would just complain, and that's why it was spaghetti and this big list of issues. And he was like, yeah, but I am not here, and this is what I think you should do. But when we just come at it with a couple of questions, compartmentalizes it for him, makes it very easy for him to come to the table and implement these things and support us all. And it's just easy and organized. And it also gives me freedom because I know this is kind of a lifestyle now. We're gonna do this. So we don't have to address everything. We only pick one or two things a month even to discuss as a family that we're gonna work on, character building or spiritual growth or whatever, because we know that we have a lifetime or this 10-year period or window to keep working on these things. So we just pick the most important at the time. Okay, so also, these family meetings for us were really awkward at first. It was not normal to sit down around the table and talk about how are you growing spiritually. Like, just so awkward, right? But the more we've been doing this for about a year and a half now, and now it's so much more normal. You have to just get over those first awkward things, or be okay with the family meetings that just go terrible, and you're like, we're gonna have to do that again. There was spilled milk, or someone got sticky syrup everywhere, or whatever, and conversation got cut off. That's okay. Some intention is better than no intention at all, and the Lord has so much grace for just a little bit of trying, you know? And we can't let, talk about this a little bit later, but we can't let the enemy steal those opportunities. They're still good. It's worth it. My husband always says that. He never really wants to do a family meeting. No one ever really wants to do them unless there's like really good food. But it's always worth it. So overall, we make these family meetings really lighthearted. The kids actually do look forward to them. And it's not like, we try our hardest to not make it something where we're just talking about, you need to be better doing this. We always start it a little bit differently, which I'll get to in a second. So our topics that we discuss every month, just about, I mean, some months we'll skip some, or the meeting will be cut short, gathering. But our first one that me and David start the year off with is talking about our family values. Let me list that out. Barna Research says that 7 out of 10 parents say they have a set of values for their family, but less than 30% actually have them written out. And if you're a husband and wife and you haven't like actually written them out, then you probably aren't exactly on the same page. Because how do you know? And within even a year, we're like adjusting things or seeing like, oh, maybe this is a little bit more important, or God's calling for our family than this thing that we thought. So just reworking that a little bit every year and coming back to a place, or even every 6 months, honestly. And so we put together this book that we felt the Lord calling us to do, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But we have that in the beginning of our book where we like just write out our family values for the year, and it's written down. We can come to it if we're having an off couple months. Then we just sit down and we're like, okay, whoa, what are we? We are the Matangas, and we are these things. We're faithful to the Lord. We serve. We pursue excellence. We always keep growing and learning. Are we doing those things? What's off that we're not able to do those things right now? So it just helps us like keep on track. And then the next question that we started asking, we call Speak Life. So we sit at the table together and we start encouraging each other. And our question that we would ask is, how can we encourage each person in our family in areas we have noticed excellence or effort? Show each person they are loved, seen, and appreciated, and focus. So we basically focus on the good first. No one is gonna wanna come to the table if they're just being grilled. You need to do better at this, you need to work on this, your attitude sucks. Like, that's not, they're not going to want to come. That's not going to capture their heart. But when we encourage them first, and this is where we call out their giftings, and point those out, their hearts are already softening and opening and more, more willing to stay and receive and be encouraged that they are good. God created them. So Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And this is true for whatever we're focusing on, but also of our kids. Like the qualities, we can list qualities in our kids that we're like, man, this kid just drives me crazy right now. But if we reframe our mind to think, no, I'm going to think about my kid, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely about them, whatever is admirable about them, it softens our hearts as parents too. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, we're going to think about those things and we're going to talk about them at the table. That is not normal in our culture, I feel like. And it was not normal for us. So again, super awkward when you're first starting this because you are rewiring your brain to think and communicate God's way instead. So next is the calendar. So we have that little spread in our book. We obviously didn't have this for like a year and a half. But so we would just have like a calendar in our playroom, which never worked. Like we were at the table, the playroom was far away. And so writing it down and looking at it, in the past, I've color-coded them, so it's really easy to be like, oh, this kid is involved in too many things. Like, this kid's color is showing up way too much, and this kid doesn't have anything going on in their life. Like, that's a bummer for them. We should probably fix that. Or mom's getting all these friend play dates, and dad gets nothing. Like, there's no dad this month. That's a bummer. Let's let him have some time. It's like a very visual system to see whose heart is getting met that month, or if the family is just out of order and way too busy. It also can show your kids' value if you have church scheduled in to your week, or what else? Some families I've heard use it for meal planning. So, or like, give your kid the option, this is your week, what meal do you want? Need to make, which I think is a great idea to get, I don't know, just kids involved in planning their days. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number each of our days that we may grow in wisdom. It's important to look ahead, to be good stewards of our time, and to teach our kids from a young age that they have a say, necessarily we're the parents still, but that they can have a say, I guess, and that we care about their time, how they're using it, and how we it as a family. Like, we schedule in our family days, so we have that listed. That shows part of our values, that we value family. Those didn't used to be in there, and that was reflected in our misplaced values. So it can also reveal some misplaced values some months. And our journals are undated, so you can start anytime. So our next question that we go through is spiritual growth. This is where we share our walk with God, what he's doing in our lives, and how he's speaking to us, so our kids realize that a personal relationship with him is possible for us, and it's possible for them too. So we ask them to participate. Our kids are younger, but they're getting into it. Like lately, spiritual growth for our younger kids would look like that. This month, it was Thatcher's been sitting in on the home group, on home group messages, and we're going through Mark's book, Spiritual Navigation. And so he's mentioned a couple things from that book, and we're like, that's so cool. Like, you don't understand what we're talking about, but you're still picking up little bits just by sitting in there because you think your dad's cool leading a message, you know? But that's great. We're going to encourage that desire and yearning to learn. And then our daughter, Adley, has been picking up and singing and remembering more worship songs. So for her, that's something that we're encouraging. Like, we've noticed that in you. But they're also getting to the age, even at just six, where we're asking them, how are you growing spiritually? We don't want to just tell them what they're doing. We want them to start thinking about it themselves so that they can join the conversation. I've had older moms of older kids go through this book and they're like, I don't know how it works for you and your family because you have younger kids. It works great for my family with older kids because it is a conversation. And it's true. We're looking forward to this being so normal that we're going to have some rich conversations when our kids are older. But it's a little, you know, more parents telling kids when they are younger. Okay, so our next section is forward growth, and that's what we talk about how we can all grow. We all are a piece of work, right? We can all grow, myself included, my husband included. We can all grow more into the likeness of Christ and in our attitudes, our character. So we talk about that. We talk about personally how me and my husband can grow, so we're modeling that for our kids in like age-appropriate ways for conversation at the table with our young kids. Some examples of that are dependability, honesty, kindness, consideration, helpfulness, diligence, loyalty, humility, self-control. For example, kindness with one of our kids. He was struggling. I know I flipped this one at one point. But he was struggling with being kind to his sisters. So we wrote that down one month. And then in the next section, encourage growth. That's where we make a plan to make that happen. And we encourage each other to write it down. And so he was struggling to be kind. And so we said, well, when we hear you say something unkind or respond in that just a harsh, unkind way, you need to say three reasons why you love your sisters or why you're glad that they're there. And if you can't think about it right then, because you just have some anger or meanness pent up in your heart, then you can go think about it. And when you're ready to come out, you can share that with them and soften your heart a little bit. And so, AKA a timeout in disguise, right? But it's not just a, you were mean, go to timeout. That's not related to their heart at all. That's not capturing their heart. It's the same kind of consequence, but it's reframing it towards, you need to reach your heart here. And not all consequences are take that time out. Sometimes it's different, you know. Let's see. So another one is our family having self-control and not spending too much time watching TV. Let's go out and do something. Let's make time for that. Let's schedule in activities outside. They don't have to be expensive. You can just go for a walk outside or a park or something like that. That's how we can make that happen. So our next section, encourage growth. That's what we would talk about. Next is creating a plan for all those things that we know we could be better in or grow in as a family to grow closer together and grow closer to the Lord. How are we going to make that happen? So we're always writing down a very specific plan to make that happen. So the kindness one I already gave you, one of our daughters struggles with like making good choices. Like she just tends to have to learn the hard way. And so we're trying to teach her, make your good choice the first time so that it's not hindering you. So I was praying one day and came up with this idea for a sparkle jar. And it's this jar where if she makes a good choice, she'll get this like little gem. She's super girly and into sparkly things. And I'm like, how can I reach this kid's heart? So she can see the good choices matter, that they build up, that they produce good things. So she gets to have a sparkle. And she's also a really sensory kid, so this is enough for her to like, oh, if I make good choices, I can get another gem. And it fills up and I can play with all of those gems instead of just like a couple. So it works for her. And the Lord is so good to give us creative ideas when we're asking him. And we're thinking about them, but it helps like writing them down instead of just keeping them in our brain. It helps writing them down so then the Lord can keep like solidifying that and working on that. That's what we found at least. Okay, so okay, growth progress. The next month, we come back and we talk about and encourage each other in the ways that we've seen growth that month. We celebrate successes. This is a little bit tied into Speak Life, so we have those two in our book right next to each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. This fuels their fire to keep pressing on to pick something else the next month that they'll see progress in. It shows them that you see them, that even if it's not perfect, and maybe one kid that month didn't make any progress really, and you get to kind of point that out and be like, we know you can do it. Let's try again. Let's write this one down again. Or maybe our plan didn't work. Let's come up with a different plan to see if that works better for you and reevaluate. One of our things that we had was one month we wrote down our mornings were just going terrible. For some reason we'd wake up and we were just all super exhausted and grouchy with each other and more yelling going on, and we're like, what is going on? What's different here? So we wrote down morning time. We need to work on that. We need to speak kindly to each other. Let's just speak kindly to each other. That wasn't specific enough. So that next week, we're like, we're noticing no progress. We need to be more specific. So I sat down one night and I'm like, okay, what would my ideal morning time look like? And I wrote down a list of what it would look like and how each of those things would happen. It's actually written in the book there. And we started implementing all of those things that were very much more specific, and we have had such better mornings. But it took like being willing to write that down and then coming back to it and thinking, that plan didn't work. We're going to figure something else out. We know this is a good thing because it starts your day. Like, your whole day is affected if your mornings are too off, you know? So that's like a practical example there. Okay, I'm almost done. But ultimately, discipleship can't just stay at the table during this family meeting, right? So that's why these questions are things that you're going and you're living out. You're talking about them all the time. You're growing in him throughout your days. And that's one of the reasons why we think that this has worked better for us. It's like this thing where we can write it down, but we can also use it as like, remember, we talked about that in our family meeting, that we're doing this instead, or we're trying to work on this. And it's not like pointing out like, you're doing this wrong, but it's like, remember, we talked about this. It's so much like gentler, but shows it like accountability, that we talked about it as a family, that we can encourage each other as a family because we are all on the same page about this. It's not one parent, remember dad said this or whatever, or it's just so much better. It's just brought a lot of peace and order to our home when there was frustration and a little bit of chaos before. So let's see. There are things that are going to hold us back, like the enemy. I loved what, just that Genesis model that Dr. Hayden was talking about last night. We are in a war. So when we are feeling like we don't want to do these things, we don't want to disciple our kids every day or take the time to be intentional with them, that's the enemy. He doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to do this. He wants you to give in to the awkwardness of having these conversations, or the hardness, or the laziness. I've been so lazy sometimes. I'm like, I just don't want to fill it out. Or I just don't want to make the yummy snack that's going to get everyone at the table that they're expecting now. Or whatever, but then we push through and we keep going, and our whole month really is changed for the better. It can take, no one day is gonna change anything. But if you're taking that one day and then you decide every day from there to live it out, change can really happen, and heart change. But we have to fight against that enemy who's gonna try to get us distracted. Okay, and then another reason for the last couple minutes is this is our biblical calling. That's why we do it. But we also do it because this is something that has a long-lasting legacy that we're leaving our kids. Our culture says, work hard so you can provide monetary security for your kids. It doesn't say, work hard, train them, and be the way that they go. But that is ultimately where all blessing is going to flow from, is the Lord, having a firm foundation in him. And so it's going to take time to disciple your kids. It's going to take investment. But this is something that money can't buy. and only time, relationship, heart, and His grace is going to see that through, and it is so worth it. I don't know that I can share this because I'm going to cry, but I'm going to try. So Psalm 128 is like our theme verse. Okay, but it just gives us this picture that I want for my family and I want for other families too. Okay, so it says, "How blessed is everyone of the Lord's loyal followers, each one who keeps His commands. You will eat what you worked so hard to grow. You will be blessed and secure. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the inner rooms of your house, and your children will be like olive branches as they sit all around your table. Yes, indeed, the man who fears the Lord will be blessed in this way. May the Lord bless you from Zion, that you might see Jerusalem prosper all the days of your life, and that you might see your grandchildren. May Israel experience peace." Okay, I got to stop through it. But we just wanted that picture for our family of mom and dad growing together all around the table, what they've worked so hard to grow. You are not going to see the fruit of your labors for a long time. But eventually you will. So this picture of family all together around the table, all faithful followers of Christ, keeping His commandments, working hard, growing and sowing and reaping the blessings of a life lived with Him. The security, it says, the blessing, fruitfulness, prosperousness for generations to come. This goes out farther than you can know or that I can know. But it takes us being willing to take that time home and disciple our kids. And this is something that the Lord's put on our heart. We're passionate about it. And that we really feel like the way He led us through these conversation topics, and just it was from Him. So we put it into a book so that we can share it with more families. But you could totally do this on your own in your own little journal. We just have a cheap moleskin. But we wanted something that would be that long-lasting legacy. Our picture and vision is that families would do this around their table, and that it would just be book year after year that they can go back to, and that ultimately through those Speak Life and Encourage Growth pages that you could go back when your kids are 5 years from now questioning their giftings and see, no, that was in me from the beginning, and my parents were calling it out. So, that's all. Lord, thank you so much just for what you've given us, our family, the peace and joy that you brought. And I just pray that these women would go out and just have a renewed encouragement and excitement to disciple their kids well, and know that your grace is sufficient for them, Lord, that you desire family to be strengthened, and you will strengthen them. So thank you, Lord. Bless the rest of this retreat. Amen. Oh, yeah.
You're going to get around and go over your book, or you're going to go break down?
Yeah,
I can. Table set out. So
yes, I have a table. So I'm selling books. They are normally online. We have a website with a card if you want to grab that, or you can pass them out. Has our website on it. Normally they're $34 and then plus like shipping and tax if you buy it online, but today it's $32, just flat. And then we also have a kid's book, which was our son's idea. It's like really simple. It has a calendar so they can fill in their days, and then note pages and a gratitude page. That was something we were working on with him completing. So go write down what you're thankful for in your gratitude journal. And he was like, I want a journal when we're designing these. I'm like, that's a great idea. It teaches kids, too, the value of writing things down, of thinking about. And then they bring their journal to the table. The girls that are younger, they just color in them when we're at the table. But that's great. Like, it gives them something to do, and they're invested in, to bring to the table. So it's kind of like a little system here. A system's not going to work if you don't get to their heart. So we're just praying that you use this. That it's just a helpful tool to reach your kids and your family's hearts, really. I mean, mine and David's marriage is so much better and strengthened by this whole process because we're coming at parenting as a team instead. Mm-hmm. So our book, we have a couple open up here. You can look through and just see the topics. We also have the olive branches as our like symbol in there because of that verse, Psalm 128. So it's constantly reminding us of this picture of family and our kids growing as olive branches. And we just love it. But we're just like, it's really the Lord's design. It's such a crazy story. But yeah, so it has just your note pages, and it has room, I didn't even have time to talk about it, but room for family prayers. So like, we list things that we're gonna pray together, like at dinner time. Like, oh, this kid's gonna pray for this thing. Like, we just pick things each month as a family that we're gonna pray together. Like, we prayed through cancer, and we've seen 3 people healed of cancer so far, which is awesome, like, for my kids to see that. Not awesome that they had cancer, but you know what I mean. And then a place for like answered prayers, because these are things that we can like go back and look at. Like, this is our family, you know? So I can answer any questions. Does anyone have any questions?
You did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
I have a question. Yeah. Can you talk about the speaking life part? Do you have the kids speak life to each other?
Yes. Okay. Totally. So it doesn't always work where it's like really silly stuff at our point because of our kids' ages, but the people who've done it with, who've gone through it with older kids have really good things to say about that. And David and I allude to each other, which we are not, like my husband is words of affirmation, so he loves this, but I am not, that is not natural to me, so it's challenging for me, but super growing too, and really good for me, for my kids to see me verbally encouraging and speaking life to my husband too. Just a great model.
I have a quick, just a super question. Because like when I imagine the calendar, I imagine it like open in the middle of the dining table, like 24 hours a day. Where do you keep yours, or do your kids open up and look at it and check stuff?
Thatcher will. He's the only one who can read so right. far. So that's I true. Assume that will. I mean, I was at someone's house the other day and they have like a book thing open, like a recipe book type thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that would be a good idea for eventually, you know? Gotcha. Something like that, or where you could flip through to different pages or that month and just like kind of keep it open. Our original design was like all of the family journals would be something like this, but we don't want them to just be something that you chuck at the end of the year, which I feel like, I mean, the kids probably wouldn't, but God opened doors, like crazy awesome doors that we're like able to have a nice book that is like an heirloom type book for families, which is just crazy. And it's cloth, so you can, if it gets stained, I've had a couple get stained, then you can just use a little cloth cleaner on it, you know? Yes.
What methods of payment do you take?
We can take card or cash, or you can order for both. Yeah, no, so card or cash. Or check, if you want, I guess.
And is it gathered, we grow, or do you harvest?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Gathered, we grow.
So you do it monthly, right?
Yeah, so you can do it. I mean, some months we're like, we should probably have another family meeting.
Because so we're not. We only meet once a month. I wasn't sure if you met once a month and then had like weekly refreshers.
People can't. It's like up to you. Okay. It's really open. There's like space to add. But ultimately, like, our goal is once a month. And if you think about it, if you're doing it once a month, you're having 12 purposeful, intentional conversations as a family about this stuff. That's not a lot.
And how long does it take?
So ours is, like, quick. It's, like, 20, 30 minutes. Our kids don't have a lot of attention spans. We kind of bust through it. Some of them, like, if there's more deep character issues or something, we'll, like, excuse the younger kids, you know, and just speak more one-on-one to that kid about that thing that we're working on, just to really solidify that. But it doesn't have to be super long. Sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's shorter, sometimes it's too short, so we have to do it again the next week or something, you know.
Okay, so one more question about that. I'm sorry. So when you work on your goals with your kids, do you try to keep it private so it's one-on-one, or is there like no shame, like, hey, we're all in this growing together
Far for us, it's like we're all in this together. We all have areas where we can grow. So we're picking things that are age appropriate to share that we're growing in to model that for them, and then we're all holding each other accountable, all on the same page. But so like maybe deeper things for sure. Like, yeah. privacy issues, whatever. But yeah, does that answer your question? But Zoom, it's like something that can grow